Nearly half of accountants believe that AI will handle at least 25% of their job responsibilities within the next 3 to 5 years. And an additional 23% expect AI to take on 50% or more of their work. That's according to a recent Accounting Today survey. We know that the AI technology is gaining traction. According to 2026 data from Thomson Reuters, 40% of accounting firms are now using generative AI, and that's up almost double from the year before. But the adoption of agentic AI kind of remains in its early stages, right? Just 15% of firms are currently using agentic AI tools. But the issue is that many firms are still applying AI to existing processes rather than fundamentally rethinking how their work gets done. Because the real opportunity for AI lies not just in simply automating tasks, but it's in transforming workflows, uncovering new efficiencies, and really creating greater value for clients. I'd like to welcome you all to Beyond Research, Unlocking Hidden Value from AI. Hosted by Accounting Today and sponsored by Thomson Reuters. I'm Lisa Joyce, your guest host, and today I'm joined by Stuart Cobb. Stuart is Senior Director of Product Management at Thomson Reuters, and Stuart is joining us to talk about how accounting firms can use AI to literally reshape the way that they work. Stuart, thanks so much for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me. It's a real pleasure to be here, Lisa, and to be talking about AI with Accounting Today.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting discussion. So thanks. One thing I want to start off with is that AI really isn't just one monolithic technology. And I do think that there's a little bit of confusion around what the different AI tools are. So maybe you could kind of set the stage by talking about some of the key differences between traditional AI, generative AI, and then agentic AI, and kind of address, is one inherently, better than the other?
Yeah, sure. And it's been quite a changing landscape over the last couple of years, right? As this boundary of cutting edges has moved pretty quickly, and you hear these new terms like agentic AI really pop up. I can see why many in the profession are kind of left a bit confused, and we've certainly spent a lot of time kind of talking to our customers in the market about these terms. Really, you can think of generative AI as the step change. Everybody knows about GPT. Well, those acronyms stand for Generative Pre-trained Transformer. And it's that word pre-trained that really is a huge step change between more traditional and AI models and generative AI models. What OpenAI and Google really pioneered was pre-training models on huge volumes of data and making the models significantly larger in the process. And that's kind of what we saw with GPT-3, 3.5, 4, that progression was the models getting much larger and using a lot more data as part of that pre-training step. And pre-training really just means that you're taking a bunch of disorganized data on a variety of different topics and training your AI on that. Traditional AI models involved using curated data sets for specific use cases, specific reasons, and just training on that very specific use case, usually training a much smaller model. And so with the shift from traditional to generative AI, you see much larger models trained on a much wider selection of data that are much more expensive to run, but more broadly, generally capable of prediction, of creating text, of generally useful for applying to work. And what's really happened since GPT-3, 3.5 in the generative AI, the dawn of the generative AI era, is that the model providers such as OpenAI have just made these models larger, using more data, using more scale, and that's made them, generally speaking, smarter and capable of doing harder work. And with that, what they've kind of realized is that you can let the agent, let the AI itself choose its own path, so figure out its own way to solve a problem, And you can do that by running in a loop. So, you know, you ask the AI to come up with its own plan. It then executes that plan in series, checking its work. And that's really what we're referring to when we call a system agentic, is really providing the system with freedom to run for a long time, to determine its own path, and to kind of run in a loop, to use more technical terms. And that's what that's done, is it's unlocked a wide range of very exciting use cases for professionals. So these agentic systems are capable of really doing meaningfully more work. And crucially, they're able to interact with the pre-existing documents and software that professionals in tax, accounting, and audit use. So things like Excel documents, Word documents, PDFs, these agentic systems are much, much better, really, in the last few months, at reading these documents and editing them and creating them.
That's really interesting, though, because firms are not really using AI for those types of use cases. Thomson Reuters did a survey, and they found that you guys found that tax research is a top use case. But it sounds like AI can do a lot more than research. Can you talk about some of the benefits of using AI as, you know, more than just a research tool?
Yeah, sure. So I like to think of research really as just a form of answering questions. And usually when somebody's doing research, they're doing that in aid of a particular piece of client work, right? So, you know, perhaps you've got a complex client that's got assets in multiple different states. They've got a few different questions that they need answered. And that usually triggers research as a workflow. And what we've started to see in the last couple of months here is that our professionals leveraging Thomson Reuters CoCounsel technology are increasingly going to CoCounsel and including the client information, the client fact pattern, and asking the AI to figure out what the answer is instead of performing the research themselves. So they're kind of delegating much more of the broader workflow to CoCounsel, which is exciting. It's super useful. It means that the scope for AI in these workflows is kind of expanding very, very rapidly.
Yeah, that is great, great news. You know, we started off talking a little bit about OpenAI and Google, you know, those more consumer or generic AI tools. Can tax and accounting firms rely on consumer generic tools, or are there any, you know, risks or limitations if they stick with those types of tools?
Yeah, I think this is a great question. We get this all the time. I think it depends a lot on what use case you're leveraging an AI system for and kind of what it's been designed to do. I think Copilot's a great example, right? Because it's connected to all of your emails. Usually it's connected to Teams, it's connected to all of the recordings that people have been keeping in Teams. And so it's really great when you need to find something that was mentioned in a meeting. Copilot's an excellent resource for that. And it's been trained on this kind of broad corpus of knowledge and it's focusing on these kind of general day-to-day tasks. However, when you're looking to perform professional work, right, there's this kind of high standard of quality that's expected of professionals in tax and accounting. And it's part of the reason why we've introduced this concept of fiduciary grade AI as Thomson Reuters. And what do we mean when we say fiduciary grade AI? What we really mean is an AI system that is reliable and accurate enough to help professionals with some of their more complex, more judgmental, more risky work, right? When the stakes are really high. And how do we do this? We do this by ensuring that the AI system has access and is trained on the decades-long worth of expert knowledge and editorial guidance that we've built up as Thomson Reuters in collaboration with our own subject matter experts.
Right. I'm wondering, though, from kind of an organizational cultural shift to using these types of tools, is there anything that has to change within the organization to kind of build trust in these AI outputs? As you said, it's high stakes, high risk. So kind of what is the role of the human expert then in these AI powered workflows?
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been looking a lot at the world of software development. I would say they're ahead of where we are in tax and accounting in how they're transforming their workflows using agentic AI. And what you're really seeing in that space is that the review stage becomes the critical bottleneck. That's the area where there's a new set of tools and techniques and thought patterns that people need to leverage in order to really see a lot of the value from totally agentic workflow automation. And I think the same is true in tax and accounting, right? I think if you've got an agent that's capable of producing a first draft of something, the question becomes review. How do you review? What citations is the AI system using to the underlying client knowledge? I think that's the key cultural shift that firms are going to need to go through over the next 2 years or so.
And then how would you, I mean, we talked a little bit about how it changes, you know, the day-to-day life of a tax and accounting professional. Can you kind of take us through, you know, a process that, you know, describes how AI would orchestrate the workflows?
Yeah, gladly. I mean, I think maybe I can talk about this kind of on three levels. So the first level is where people are kind of at the moment or where they were 6 months ago. They would go to a system like CoCounsel and ask a question like, you know, what is the personal property tax rate for a pleasure vessel in Virginia? Let's say they would frame the question in that way. I think the shift that we're now seeing is that people are kind of just pasting in a lot of information about their clients and letting the agent figure out what question it needs to ask. So, you know, what it looks like now is my client owns a pleasure vessel in Virginia and is starting to assess where they need to keep it. You know, can you help me figure this out? And the agent is doing the research itself, and that engagement is starting to look a little bit more like an advisory engagement than a research engagement, which is interesting. And I think where we're going soon is that as part of your compliance automation, this kind of research will just be simply done behind the scenes. And there won't actually be a human triggering that specific research step. The agentic automation systems will simply recognize that it's necessary and pull together the relevant research materials.
Right. And that must free up the professional then for more strategic work, I'm assuming. They don't have to waste time doing more research-based things.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. And I think it's a question of helping then the clients understand where they might be able to save tax, how they could structure things in a better or more efficient way. You know, I think that we've been talking about the shift to advisory in tax for quite some time now, and I'm seeing quite a few signs that shift is really accelerating as people are looking to agents to automating the underlying compliance work.
Great. I have one final question for you, Stuart, and that is, you know, there's a lot of hype in the market and people are kind of inundated with AI talk. So how do firms choose the best AI tools? I mean, what should they be considering as they look at evaluating AI?
I think firms should be considering what the system has been built for and who the system is primarily targeting. You know, buying a system that's designed for tax professionals is going to mean that AI system is just naturally better suited for their everyday workflows. I also think it's important for firms to start to build up a bit of a library of examples, right? So kind of hard problems that they use to test these AI systems. I think it's important for for firms of all sizes, really, to build a bit of an intuitive sense for how one system performs against the next, in particular on the kinds of tasks that they do day to day in their jobs.
Excellent. It's a perfect ending. I want to thank you so much. We're out of time, Stuart, but thank you so much for explaining why, you know, really bringing together research and document analysis, workflow automation, and knowledge management and all of that into a secure workplace really helps tax and accounting firms get the most out of these AI investments.
Great. Yeah. Thank you for having me, Lisa, and hope you have a great day.
Great. Thank you. And thank you all for listening. If you'd like to learn more about how you can tap into AI to transform tax workflows, please visit thomsonreuters.com. Again, thanks for listening and have a great day. Mm-hmm.